Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We're locally grown radio, baby. It is 7:04 on the clock. I got your host, James J. I am joined, I feel so good saying this, Seth Haphagger with us today.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to have you back, Seth.
It's nice to be back, I think.
Right? We're going to get into that. I'm not even going to ask you if your arms are tired. I'm not even going to do that tired joke. I'm not even. Oh well, I guess I kind of did.
You just kind of did, but it's okay. Everyone knows what it is anyway. So
we got good stuff lined up today. Matt LePay is joining us. Everybody, I'm sorry. I usually try to do this in chronological order, and like you know, what's going to go on in the 7 o'clock? What's going to go on in the 8 o'clock? Yep. What'll happen in the 9 o'clock? I have to jump right to the headline. Mm-hmm. Matt LePay is joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Voice of your Wisconsin Badger, Wisconsin Badgers. Wisconsin Rapids Badgers were a team that just didn't make
it. They just didn't quite make
it. They tried. They didn't have enough team, the players. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah,
Matt's
cool.
Such a great guy. Mm-hmm. On air, off air, couldn't be nicer. And so in tune with this Wisconsin Badger team.
Yes.
Cannot wait to talk to him about that. I want to talk to him about this past weekend as well as previewing on the next couple of games. Because
mm-hmm.
Got a nice looking schedule going forward if you're a Badger fan.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that with Matt LePay in the 9 o'clock hour today.
Very cool.
And some other stuff going on. No.
A few things.
7 o'clock hour, we'll get into our That Ain't Right stories. I mean, our National Day of Calendar, 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. In the 9 o'clock hours, when we'll have some good stories, That Ain't Right stuff, all that kind of stuff. I wanted to kick things off, though, finding out how you're doing, Seth, and how the team's doing.
Everything is going well. We did fly in yesterday from our little vacation that we took, where the weather was much, much warmer than it is here. That was kind of a shock, walking into this after some 90-degree days. But
I happened to talk to Old Man Winter a little bit yesterday, and he's like, so Seth and Beth and the boys are going to be back tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, all right. And I'm going to do the frost tomorrow then. I'm like, really? He's like, well, yeah, I think it'll be funny. He's like, I don't think he's going to find it funny. Did you find it funny?
He's got a weird sense of humor.
He really does.
Old Man Winter.
Very dark sense of humor.
Man, when him and Jack Frost get together, it's just weird. Strange.
How was the trip?
It was a lot of fun.
Good.
It was tons and tons of fun. We got to go to Beth's old stomping grounds down there in Florida, and we got to do some fun things and some parks that people might have heard about, that kind of thing, kind of well-known theme areas.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. Vacations, they're so weird. They go by in such a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
They really do. You feel like Beth said last night, boy, it feels like it was almost a dream.
Yeah.
Because you fly down there and then all of a sudden you're busy for like 4 or 5 mm-hmm. days and then you're back. What happened? Whoa. Hey, well, we're back, I guess. Did that really happen?
Yeah.
We've got souvenirs. I guess it did.
Right,
so,
because that was my first question. What did you get? What did you bring me back? What did you get me? I hear everybody talk about vacations that way. I've never taken one, so I don't know.
Right.
But that's what I hear. The only time I don't hear that is when people have like 4 days off of work or a week off and they don't go anywhere. They just stay home.
That's a little different. Yeah.
It's a vacation. It's still a vacation. It still counts, and more power to you if that's what you choose to do.
Right.
But I think just getting out of your own zip code automatically starts that in your head.
And
this idea of it, being a waking dream, being of kind of like, and then especially you go to Disneyland and all that stuff and everything, which from what I've heard is a dreamland kind of place.
Well, they bill it like that, right? I mean, that's what I was like, the irony of that. It's like, where your dreams come true, right?
Right. But well-deserved, well-needed, I shouldn't say needed, but well-deserved, well-earned is what I meant to say.
Needed too. We can take that.
All of you guys, that too, I guess. All you guys deserved it and needed. I'm glad to have you back as well. And of course, if Seth is back, that means Beth is back too.
Yep.
Which is great to hear. Hope things are going good for her and everything over there. I know she's got a lot going on with the theater and of course, the day job.
Yes.
And stuff. So.
Yeah, and we got a book sale coming up, too, in the beginning of October. Right. So, yeah.
And October's a busy month for you guys, us here.
Yeah.
I tried to warn the audience, when we got out of, Labor Day or whatever, from here out, until January, this is busy time. It is go time. And honestly, as crazy and as busy as it gets and as much as plate spinning as we're doing, I love it. I've been in this industry for so long that now I'm addicted to this time of year.
Oh, no.
As insanely busy as it is. I like it. I kind of dig the way that we're constantly, this plate's slowing down. I got to get to this one. It's part of why you love this job. whether anybody in radio will admit it or not, the craziness, the chaos, the you never know what is going to happen on a Wednesday. You know, there are no normal days. I think that is part of what brings us to this industry.
It's the epitome of controlled chaos because we have it's very bizarre. So in radio, you've got these very strict deadlines.
Yeah.
You have to be done by this. But within that time period, it's like, you know, all bets are off.
Yeah.
No holds barred.
We're supposed to take a break at 7:20. That's pretty much that's designed.
Right.
Pam puts that in the logs. But if we go long, we go short, that's us.
And yeah.
We make the time up later or we fix it. Like it's such a moving, a living piece of art.
It is.
It really is. And it's such a fun thing to be able to do.
I agree.
And with that, we've got so many fun things lined up for you. Today, of course, we have Morning Magazine kicking off after Seth and I are done hanging out with all of you. We will kick off part one at 10:06. With Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. Mm-hmm. We'll also have Taylor Hall in for Wisconsin Rapids Community Media to record on that. And then in part two, we'll talk with our friends to the ODC. Callie Johnson and Katie Hoppett are going to be with us.
Very cool.
Looking forward to all of that.
Yeah.
Of course, we were going to be covering the January 6th September hearing, Seth. You didn't hear about this yesterday, but it has been postponed, delayed due to the hurricane, of course.
Mm, yes.
So that is going to be, we'll let you know. When they do have that, I'm sure we'll be covering it.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing our luck, it'll be like during a Badger game, which means... I got a feeling the Badgers trump. I don't know.
I think they preempt everything.
I think. But you know, even if we didn't want to, I mean, it is our job to play that. So
it is. Yep.
With that though, tomorrow we have Wisconsin Badger head football coach Paul Chris joining us as he does every week at 6:05.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind on our sister station WIRI on Friday we'll have Lincoln going up against Marshfield. Nice. Huge game.
Ooh, big one.
This one could go down as the game of the year. I'm not even exaggerating. Marshfield's undefeated. Lincoln is 2-1. Both of them fighting for the top of the conference. Lincoln's defense is solid. Marshfield's running game is pretty dang good, too, mm-hmm. though, and their defense ain't bad, so it is going to be a good game. Could go down as the best of the season. Be sure to catch that on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WYRI. Our pregame will start at 6:50. Gene Delisio on the call for that one.
Oh, that's awesome. Get a good voice on there. Yeah.
And, of course, this Saturday at 9 a.m., huh? What? Yeah. 9 a.m. our pregame kicks off for Wisconsin Badger football as they're hosting the Illini.
It's an early game this week.
Yeah, yeah. Now, with that, we will have some changes to our schedule for Saturday. The Sunshine Polka Show will air at 7 this Saturday, October 1st.
Early morning polka.
Yeah, due to Wisconsin football, of course. Please listen at 7 a.m. Saturday to hear the music Tim has prepared, especially for you this weekend. He has a special Saturday morning show lined up.
Oh, that's even better. My gosh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no Over the Back Fence on Saturday. Saturday, but it will be back the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that.
Yep.
And I also wanted to mention that this is exciting, too. I mentioned high school football on our sister station. Something else that Wiscountry 105.5 is going to be able to be doing going forward, they are the home of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
That's right.
Oh, my God, have I waited a long time to say that. I honestly don't care what station. I'm just happy to say it. We're all under the same umbrella.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, it's just fantastic, man.
It's
all
great.
All 16 home games right over there on Wiscountry 105.5.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to stay up to date on all your Kings action. We know you can't get to every game.
Yep.
But if we're going to have you covered this way, back and forth.
Yep.
It's exciting, and it kicks off this Saturday, October 1st, as your Kings take on, they host the Minnesota Moose.
Ah, the Moose.
Game is at 7. I don't know, we don't have it hammered out exactly when our pregame will start with that. But I would say that you could join us about 10-2. That's when pregames usually start, sometimes a half an hour, at the most maybe a half an hour. Football's a whole different monster.
It is.
But for this stuff, I would say around 6:30 and on, I'd start listening.
Yeah.
And just tuning in, checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really fun to be able to have that. It's our first season doing this, so we'll work out kinks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to do that with you. We get to do that with the audience.
Yep.
And we get to do that with the Kings. And last Friday, Seth, Steph and I got to go down to the rink, interviewed every single player on the River Kings. I am still tired. But it was fantastic.
That's so awesome. I just love the idea that, I mean, you got to go there for media day. Mm-hmm. And you got, I, you know, usually when you go to these things, you think, ah, we'll get a couple of players that'll want to talk. But there's not every single player. I love that. That's so great.
Steph and I are going there. We're talking about it. Like, get five or six. It would be awesome. We get five or six interviews and stuff. That would be wonderful. We go to Coach. Coach is great. Mm-hmm. Wonderful man. Cannot wait to get to know him more. I think we got a lot in common, actually. But he's like, hey, how many you want? We're like, we'll take as many. All right, guys. And he just, and these kids, they listen to Coach. They
That's good.
Not like they're scared of him or something. It's a respect thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he speaks, they're hearing him. Like, that's so old school hockey to me. It was so cool to see, you know?
That's right.
And the kid, these are some of the better kids I've ever met, I've ever interviewed.
That's so awesome.
Period. Like, we got one kid from the Appleton area. Most of these kids, though, are coming from out of state. A lot of them out of country.
Right.
Got a couple kids from the United Kingdom, even.
Oh, wow.
When's the last time I go to my dad? I'm like, Dad, you got to hear these interviews. I'm playing, like, these are hockey players. He's like, get on. It sounds like John Lennon. What are you talking about? It's a new day.
Yeah, we're going to get some English hockey players. Yeah. I love it. It's great.
You'll be able to hear those interviews, be able to hear some of these while listening to the games. Mm-hmm. We'll play them in the middle of periods and everything. Looking forward to that. Might even get some of them, play some of them on Playmakers after they've already premiered on the River Kings hockey.
Right.
I want them to premiere there, and then maybe we'll bring them, for those that don't get to hear it, maybe we'll play it on Playmakers the following Monday. We'll see how that goes.
Telling you, if you want local sports, you're coming to the right place, everybody.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day around here.
Yes, it is.
It's fun. And speaking of hockey and sports, we, of course, are your home for Wisconsin Badgers, not just football, but hockey as well. Mm-hmm. And this Sunday, 12:30, Wisconsin men's hockey hosts Lakeland exhibition game. But here's the sneaky thing for those that don't follow hockey.
Yep.
There are no exhibition games in hockey.
Not really.
Every game is tooth and nail, slamming into each other. They call it preseason football, and you've got a lot of guys out there that will play in the regular season, but for the most part, it is guys, you know, trying to get their job. Coaches figuring things out. In hockey, go.
Yeah.
Go. Just it doesn't matter if it's an exhibition. Go.
You can't really – you can't do like a pullback in hockey. It just doesn't work. Because the moment you do, you're going to get creamed.
Yeah.
You're going to get plowed into by someone. And that's it, you know.
So I was excited to have you and Beth and the boys back in town and everything. You guys are some of my better friends, and I love having you here at the station, of course. You have the best ear for sound I think I've ever come into in this business.
Oh, wow.
So having you in production is a very, very – it's a get. It's definitely having a great left wing or something like that, a great center.
Speaking of hockey, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep using my hockey metaphors. But I was excited about this. I came across this, and I thought that it would be kind of a fun way to bring you guys back, since of course Seth and Beth and the boys went down to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it Disneyland?
Disney World.
Technically, I knew Florida, I was getting it wrong.
Yeah.
See, I got no clue.
You know.
I know Disney something.
It's all right. It's all right.
Okay, but Disney World, and I came across this. It's a short little audio snippet of Walt Disney himself talking about the naming of the dwarves.
Ooh.
Have you ever wondered exactly how each of the seven dwarves in Snow White got their name? This is it's an old video, but we're playing the audio, of course, for you, as this is a audio medium. Walt Disney sitting behind a desk with miniatures of each dwarf, giving the details here. So go ahead and play this for you real quick.
All right.
Dwarfs' names fit their personalities. This pompous-looking individual is Doc, self-appointed leader of the group. This little fellow is bashful. He's secretly in love with Snow White. And this funny face is Sneezy. He has hay fever. And old Droopy Eyes is called Sleepy. And Happy here with a beaming smile. And old Sourpuss here is Grumpy, the woman hater.
And those are the seven dwarves.
There you go.
He wanted each of them to represent a emotion.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
I never really put that much thought into it, to be honest with you.
No.
I just thought, okay, well, you know, but he really wanted each of them to have, like, something that they would represent the human emotion in dwarves.
Right. Wow.
Which is kind of an interesting little snippet there.
I didn't know about the bashful being secretly in love with Snow White.
Right.
That's an interesting note. Wow.
I mean, did you catch the woman hater thing at the end
for
there?
Grumpy?
Like, whoa, yeah. I don't know if he was saying that in jest or just because Grumpy, you know, or whatever or not, but as I said, you know, Walt was a thinker, obviously, mm-hmm. a deep thinker. And,
yes.
And while I have problems with the man, I respect his creativity.
Yep.
And I can separate the two for the most part.
Right.
And man, you're right. I didn't think that there was that much thought put into that. I'll be completely honest. I just, it's the Seven Dwarves. I mean, come on, you know?
Well, if you go to any of the parks you see the amount of detail that they put into it, and that was all from Walt himself when they first built Disneyland out in California, is that he was very, the attention to detail was so important to him. And they have continued that ever since he passed away. They do little things that you can find and stuff. The one thing we did a lot of with our boys down there was called finding hidden Mickeys. There's hidden Mickeys in everything, in the architecture. And you can find these little Mickeys everywhere that are just, you know, little Easter eggs, I guess you can find.
I like that.
And it was a lot of fun. We did that. We actually did some scavenger hunts where you're supposed to find different hidden Mickeys. So
he set up the blueprint. And really, everybody that's taken over since him has kind of stuck to that blueprint and just tried to make, you know, figured out how to make that work. That's how you keep the business around. That's how Disney becomes Disney.
Well, and that's the reason why Disney is different it's a giant corporation. Yeah, it sure is. But it has a different flavor to it, and it does things very differently.
The blueprint, they stick to it, whereas, you know, somebody takes over for Steve Jobs at Apple,
right,
and they immediately start changing, doing this, and different.
Their way, right.
Their thing and stuff and everything. Yeah, so I see what you mean by that. I hadn't thought of that either before. Oh, as we see the geese just fly over us. Wow,
must be fall.
About 20 of them. That's just such, that sight will never get old to me, seeing, like, geese. I also want to go with them. I just want to
fly south.
We will take a quick commercial break. We will come back, get into our National Day of Calendar. It's Seth and James taking you through your morning on WFHR.
Welcome back to another round of Wisconsin Political Jeopardy. Haley, the board is yours.
I'll take divisive politicians for $500.
This divisive politician said he'd consider abolishing the State Department of Education.
Who is Tim Michaels?
Yes, that is correct.
I'll take radical politicians for $300.
This radical said funding Wisconsin's public schools is, quote, the definition of insanity.
Who is Tim Michaels?
Correct again.
I'll take radical politicians for $1,000.
This divisive radical pledged to drain millions of dollars from Wisconsin public schools and give it to private schools with no plan to see how the money is spent.
That's definitely Tim Michaels.
That is correct again. That's all the time we have for today, folks. Hope you learn more about Tim Michaels' divisive radical education policies.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Chair Ben Wickler is an in-kind to Tony for Wisconsin.
Aho, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Bright sunshine expected today with a high of 57. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 36. Highs around 62. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Mid-60s Friday, warmer on Saturday with highs in the upper 60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everybody. Seth and James here waking up with you. Thanks for waking up with us on this Wednesday, October 28th, 2022, 7:24 on the clock, and time for us to get into our National Day of Calendar for this 28th.
All right.
Let us take a look here. Not a ton of things to dive into today, but it is Hispanic Heritage Month up until October 15th, so keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind, everybody.
World Rabies Day.
Okay. Is it Rabies Awareness Day?
I feel like that's what they mean to say.
Yeah. We're not celebrating rabies, I hope.
Yeah. Help educate yourself and others and raise awareness about the risk of rabies and how to prevent this deadly and incurable disease before it takes hold. The history of rabies, I'm not going to get into it with you, but it is kind of, like, unfortunately fascinating.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And it's one of those things where from the beginning, and I will look at that. I want to say there was an actual like start. I don't know. They don't have it. It doesn't look like. Well, rabies has been around a long time, unfortunately. Yeah. But with that, we've not gotten any closer to a cure, really.
It's one of those real mystery diseases that we, yeah, it's, man, and it's good to think about. I mean, cause getting, you know, more awareness about how, you know, there's treatment for it,
right.
But it's extremely painful and it's not fun. And yeah, so yeah. Get it out there. Be careful. In other words, everyone, be careful. Yeah.
As Seth is the Seth, is it? Are you the chairman, general manager of the Pi Council? I don't know what the exact title.
Ambassador, I think is what you'd call me.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Just the ambassador.
Melissa and I were wondering yesterday. Okay, Mel, it's ambassador of Pi.
There you go. Yes.
Since he is with us today, we can do this National Strawberry Cream Pie Day.
That looks good.
That does look really good.
That looks really good.
I like. I've always liked strawberries, but I don't know what's happened in the last couple of years. But I'm falling in love with them again.
Really?
And they're great. Like that looks really good.
Strawberry pie, when done right, is very, very good.
Yeah. International Poke Day. Oh, what the what, Seth? Why'd you poke me? It's not that. This is a completely different kind of poke.
It's I believe it's pronounced poke, but
poke.
Yes.
That makes more sense.
I shouldn't have poked you. I just did that because you know, need anything for a joke, really.
No. You were right. You were just playing along, being a good teammate. That was a horrible joke on my part, and I shouldn't have done it. I apologize to the audience. I'm sorry. You can't get that time back.
Just a few seconds.
International Poke Day. Have you had this before? Because I've seen it a bunch since I was a kid, and I've always wanted to try it.
I have. It's funny. It all comes back to vacations.
Yes.
Last year, went to Hawaii, and it's very. I mean, it's everywhere down there. It's one of their big dishes that they serve at a lot of restaurants. And yes, I mean, you can make it in a lot of different ways, and it's just. It's very good, though. It's delicious.
My papa said, because he was stationed there for a little bit, that he grew a love of Hawaiian food ever since.
Oh, good stuff.
And most people, when they visit there, that's what happens. You end up falling in love with some of the food, or really anywhere you travel.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
You go to Paris, you'll end up liking this food. There or what have you, and bringing it back with you. It's also National Good Neighbor Day.
Good neighbor.
That's a good one.
Howdy, neighbor.
Not so long ago, the world felt like a smaller place, and everybody knew everybody else in their neighborhood. Now, many of us aren't familiar with our neighbors and only speak to them in passing. Why not use National Good Neighbor Day as an opportunity to lend a proverbial cup of sugar and get to know the people who you live nearby?
That is a good idea. I like that.
There's a lot of advantages to that.
I'm not saying
that you guys got to have a potluck together every Friday. but, you know, you get to know your neighbor. You're a little friendly with each other.
Exactly.
And you kind of help keep an eye out for each other. Like, you know, when my parents are out of town and I'm not around or something, the people across the street love, you know, do that all the time for my folks. We do the same thing for them. You know, things like that. The cup of sugar is certainly noteworthy, but it's so much more about just those. I think that gray area of stuff that we don't think about. You know, knowing that hey, the other person across the street, they're good people. Like
yeah,
it, you know, some of these things that we took for granted as kids growing up, that now they seem so foreign and so like aged, like 100 years ago, when it really was not that long ago.
No, and I like the way you brought up, you know, you don't have to, you know, be like super friends with them.
Yeah.
You could just, you know, do, you know, we have finally, you know, we just had someone move into the house next door, a family, and there hadn't, since we've been here, you know, it's either been empty or it was, you know, someone was just working on the inside and living there. So they were very, you know, focused on that. But we have a family living there now, and we've gotten to know them a little bit, and we've gotten to help each other out a little bit. Mm. And I can't tell you how much we enjoy that, just having neighbors, just having people right there. It's great.
Especially when you haven't had it for so long.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Really nice.
When you have kids, I think it is another thing, a great thing to be able to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do they learn from that when they become adults and they move somewhere or something.
Yeah.
But it's more a chance for them to see adults acting like adults.
Yeah.
Another set of adults maybe that they can, you know, trust. You know, there's no negatives to any of this. These are all positives.
Exactly.
And it's National Beer Day.
Don't start too early, though.
You don't start too early. You tell me what to do. National Beer Day. Sample a new beer, visit a brewery, or just gather friends together to share your favorite beers. Try new ones and discuss one of the world's most popular drinks.
Mm-hmm.
While a beer can be enjoyed by beer lovers on almost any day of the year, this is, day is certainly an extra special one. It's National Beer Drinking Day, a delightful day in which to dedicated activities clearly stated in the name.
Yes, it's right there. It's right there.
Are decidedly passionate about beer as a race, as human beings, from German Beer Day to IPA Day to Stout Day, from Oktoberfest to Home Brewing Day. Mm-hmm. This tasty beverage is worth celebrating all year long. Now, we got in this state, we have a different love affair with brewing. I'm just going to talk about beer, but brewing in general.
Yes.
So much of this state's economy, so much of this state's backbone and you know, shoulders are built mm-hmm. on brewing and doing that kind of work and having that as an export, really.
It is. And that's what, I mean, if you go back in history, what is Wisconsin known for? I think before it was known as the dairy state,
mm-hmm.
I think it was known as the beer state because of all the big beer companies, that mostly in Milwaukee, but all through the state, you know, you had your Pabst and your Blatz and your Schlitz, and these were all Milwaukee-based companies. And that's why it was known as the state was known for its beer, because of the large German population.
You name those beers, and all I could think of was my early 20s. So this is such a blur, like 21 to like 23. It's a real blur, and I'm pretty sure it's because of those beers you mentioned there.
Yes,
sure.
It was. Yes, it was.
It's a good day to especially you know, for dinner tonight. I definitely, it's 7:30. Like but tonight, you know, hey, with dinner or something, maybe you might go good with it.
Go grilling outside in the really cold weather.
My dad would. I know my dad would.
Then you need a beer to warm up.
Can't jump in until Little John says, yeah. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Seth and James here with you. I mean, he's not that busy right now, right? We could probably get him.
Yeah, sure.
Get Little John. Just sit here and every time we come back from a break, yeah. Every time.
I wonder how long it'll be until that gets too old.
Oh, I'm sure that wouldn't. That'd last two segments. That'd last two segments for him and us.
Yeah. And all right. Like, thanks, Little
he
John.
He would literally give us our money back and walk out, like, just politely, but walk out. Yes. Yeah. So we're going to get into something that I think is kind of a fun subject, especially for many baseball fans out there. And boy, have I heard from you guys out there. There are so many more baseball fans than I realized around this area when the rafters were really running and everything mm-hmm. this season. And not to traditional baseball fans that you and I grew up with all the time. A lot more women getting into baseball than when we were kids, which is cool to see. It's great. I'm not saying that this never happened at all back in the day. It just, this season seemed like there was more female baseball fans, just more fans in general, really,
right?
Of the sport. I don't know what necessarily caused that or why that is necessarily, or if maybe we were a little, our view of it was skewed because of the rafter season.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's the, you know, the ratings have been there. A lot of different things have been there for baseball that haven't been there in years past.
Right.
It's incredibly important considering baseball just made a huge overhaul to the rules for 2023.
Yes. Yes.
They are going to have a pitch clock. That is going to speed the game up. That is going to be insane to deal with. Get ready to hear every starting pitcher complain.
Yes.
Every single one. So there's that. There's they got rid of the shift. That's going along with the big changes that happened this season with the universal DH and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was another biggie. Yep.
So the game that our parents grew up on is changing. And it's hopefully evolving for the better. I'm certainly hopeful. As a stolen base fan, I'm really excited about the opportunity to probably see more stolen bases.
Now, I haven't looked at the rule change yet in any detail, but if they did you can only throw over a couple of times, if they limit that,
they did. Yeah.
You're going to see some stolen bases. Yes.
Yeah, because, well, I make the pitcher use up his ends, and I'm going.
Yep.
You know, I'm going. I don't care who's in the catcher, but I don't care if it's Yogi Berra in there, I'm going. That's me, though. That's
what No, there's other, I'm sure there's players that are going to be just like that, too.
I grew up loving Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, here's just kind of a fun question. I think whether you're a baseball fan or not,
mm-hmm.
Say you, because It's one of those things, too. It's summer. There are so many people who are not sports fans who go to baseball games.
Right.
It's an event. And there's sometimes, while there is so much to do in summer, sometimes there's, you know, those days where there isn't. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go catch a game. Let's go to Witter Field. Let's go to, I almost said Miller Park.
That other field in Milwaukee, yeah.
Go see the Brewers, you know, whatever. So there's a lot more of these opportunities happening. And this is kind of a cool question. Yankee slugger Aaron Judd has been chasing Roger Maris's AL record of 61 home runs, and Albert Pujols just hit his 700th home run the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were at a game and you caught one of those big home run balls, what would you do with that ball? Keep it or sell it or be a good fan, quote, good fan, and give it back to the player? And that usually involves the player giving you a signed jersey and all
those.
Or
a bat or something nice, in return, right?
The team, oftentimes, if they're a smart team, they'll give the guy, you know, a bunch of free tickets or something like that.
Pictures with the player and stuff, yep.
Yeah. A writer for Yahoo Sports did a big article after a 20-year-old Yankee fan caught Judge's 60th home run and gave it back to him.
Mm.
He got some cool stuff. Like an autographed bat and everything, I see.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have sold the ball for $100,000, according to Sotheby's.
Wow.
The article talks about how fans get shamed if they decide to keep a ball like that, and that's exactly what happened after the fan who caught Albert's 700th ball on Friday left the stadium with it.
Oh, dear.
So who made the right call? It depends on how much of your diehard fandom is worth to you. But one line from the article was interesting. Quote, in no other circumstance is an American who legally and rightfully stumbles upon a six-figure plus payday expected to just give it up.
Yeah.
If Judge does get 62 home runs this year, a lot of experts think the ball could be worth well over $1 million. So
probably.
Seth, let's take our turns on this,
okay?
You're in the stands at Yankee Stadium. You hit.
Yep.
You just say that it happens in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
You get that ball.
Okay.
You're the one person out of that, 40, 50, 60,000 people, whatever it is,
right,
at a Yankee Stadium. You get that ball. What is your first instinct? Where do you land on?
I'm firmly in. This is probably because I'm a student of the game and I love baseball so much. I'm definitely giving it back. Because I value the history of what happened. Now, because then the player can do, you know, what they want with the ball. If they want to keep it on their mantle, hey, that's great. You did the thing, so you should be able to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them, you know, they lend it to the Hall of Fame so they can display it there and they can put, you know, historical stuff on it, which is really cool too. But no, I am not interested in making money because I just happened to catch a baseball.
Right.
It's all basically luck anyway. So it's like, nah, I would give it back.
It's like winning the lottery.
Yeah,
How much credit do you get for that?
Right? For being lucky, right?
It's a great answer, and you're wrong.
I am totally wrong.
So that's my answer, but I'm going to be completely honest with the audience here. Like, I catch a regular home run ball, that's one thing. I catch this ball, like Albert's 700th or the 62nd home run from Aaron Judd or something like that, and my first instinct is to run. Is to run like the wind, run like I've never run before, run like the police are chasing me, man. I mean, like, just run with that ball and hide it and not tell anybody. I'm in New York. I just caught the ball, the one ball that every New Yorker in this country, this state wants.
Right, yeah.
I'm hiding that thing. I'm running for my life. That's my first instinct.
Right.
Where I fall on is where you do. Now, this is the only catalyst I would have to that.
Okay.
It's the sickest part of the. I'm taking pictures with it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm taking pictures with Aaron Judd.
Yeah.
I'm taking pictures with a newspaper in my hand and Aaron Judd right there, maybe even Aaron Judd's mom. Just
who cares? Whoever wants to get involved, right?
I want proof that this happened to me.
Yep.
Because this never happens to me.
No.
I'm not one of these lucky people. I never win things. I've never won a lot. You know, none of this stuff.
Yep.
So I'm definitely doing all that. And then we'll get to, okay, what kind of payday am I getting here?
Right.
And I'm not one of those people either, because I've heard of stories of this too, where fans will pretty much like hold an item hostage until they get what they want.
They'll bargain with the player. Yep.
What they throw out there is what I'm going to take.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I like bargaining. I'm a bargainer. I do things like that. There are certain times and there are times for that, and then there are times to just, you know. Because you're absolutely right. It's luck. It's luck of the draw. There's nothing else to this other than that. I find more impressive. Like there's a picture. I even think I have it on my computer
right.
Of a mom with her kid, and she's catching a fly ball. Like that's,
I've seen that, yeah.
That's more impressive to me than catching a 700th home run or anything like that. I would like the idea, because this is, I'm also, I don't know if I must do another game, but yep. I grew up with two people that just love baseball more than anything.
Yeah.
As far as sports go.
Yeah.
To me, it's not my ball.
No.
It's not my ball. I didn't pay for it. I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
MLB did, and it belongs emotionally to that player.
Yeah.
So I want that, the picture, all those things and stuff. But, man, how cool would it be that you get to, you know, say this happens to you, and you take the boys to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
And you point to the ball. And then you can point to the picture of you.
Yeah, and right. Look at it. Here we are.
Like,
yeah,
there's the ball. Like, I touched that ball. I caught that ball.
Yeah.
That seems like, to me, what price tag could you put on that moment?
Oh, not at all.
What price tag? Nothing compares to that.
No. If just to do something with the money angle, though, if Major League Baseball were smart, what they could do, and they wouldn't, and I would not announce this beforehand, because then you'd get people in a scrum going for the ball, and then they would be, you know, take the ball and run otherwise for your life, basically, is that if they rewarded whoever the player is, you know, the person who catches it, with some money, you know, just give them like a $5,000. You won this because you caught it, then the money kind of equation is taken out of the thing. You're still going to get, you know, stuff from the player. You're going to get your jersey, your bat, whatever that they want to trade for it, and you still get a couple bucks. Hey, there you go. But I would keep it on the down low. I wouldn't announce it. Yeah.
The one thing I would announce, season-long tickets.
Give them season tickets.
Season,
yes.
Season tickets. Yep. What's the harm? What's the PR alone, you're going to make your money back.
Exactly. No, you're so right.
You look better. Like, if I'm the Yankees, or if I'm Aaron Judd or anybody in these situations, this is the one time in my life, like, I'm overselling. I'm like, hey, here's, you know, if I'm thinking of only 500, I'm going to offer 1,000. I'm going to just, you know, up the ante here.
Yep.
So that they, for one, they can't say no almost.
Yeah.
But also, just to show that, hey, you know, we can afford to do this. We understand we appreciate you spending your money to come here. Thank you for giving this ball that could be literally worth $1 million.
Right, right. And it's the Yankees. I mean, they're not hurting for money. The Yankees are never hurting for money. They're fine.
During this conversation, the Yankees just made about as much as I will in my lifetime.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even deducting payroll, they still made that much money.
They're going to be all right. Just a kind of interesting topic. And I really do. I am curious of how you guys think of this out there. You know, if you want to call up right now, 424-2600, feel free to call up and let us know what you do with the ball. But otherwise, I say we'll give this to the top of the hour.
All right.
If you want to call in about this subject here, I would give it to the top of the hour when we go come back from break here and everything. But this is interesting.
It is.
I'd also love to hear from the audience if any of you have ever caught a famous ball. Maybe not a 700th home run,
right?
But the game-winning home run or something like that.
Yeah, interesting one.
I've honestly, Seth, I've been to about four or five baseball games. I've never even been near a fly ball.
Yeah.
Or a home run ball. Mm-hmm. I've had them like a couple of, you know, maybe like a 20 feet from me or 30 feet, like whatever, anything. But I've never really had one near me.
No.
It's weird.
It's one of those things where, and I've been to, you know, many, many games. And yeah, I've barely been, you know, a foul ball has barely come in my direction.
It's weird how that happens.
Occasionally it would be close, but I think the Rafters, I got one that was really close. But that was it, you know.
Went with baseball, when you watch a game, it feels like no matter where you're sitting, it can happen. might become this generation's Sal Durante.
That's his name. Yes. Okay.
As a 19-year-old in 1961, Durante caught Maris's record-breaking 61st home run. The story of what followed, Durante sold the ball for $5,000 and it was returned to Maris as part of the deal. Sounds downright quaint in today's standards, but it's a reminder that even six decades ago, fans who got caught who caught famous souvenirs faced a tricky choice. Do you keep the ball, sell it, or give it back? And all
right,
that.
Yeah.
Because the other part of this, too, is what if you do none of the above? You just want to keep it in the family. It's an heirloom.
Yeah.
You're the biggest Yankee fan in the world, you feel like.
Yeah.
You've been following this team your whole life. You got Roger Maris's 61st home run.
Yeah.
That's staying in my family. Like, it's in my will. Like, this ball cannot be sold. It stays in this family. Something like that. Like, I could see that. It's not that far-fetched than some other thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like things that you hand down.
Yeah, right. That. Well, of course, and then it would be more and more difficult to keep that because you know, as the value grows of the ball, you'll be getting offers from, hey, you know, if you sell that thing, you get $1 million kind of thing.
And right.
So, but yeah, no, it's interesting, though. And like we've been mentioning, it's something that's been around since there have been, you know, famous baseballs to be caught. What happens with them? It's an interesting question to answer.
Yeah, and we go from that to robots becoming one step closer to possibly running things. I don't know.
Overlords.
I really don't think that this whole takeover of the robots thing is going to happen in anybody's listening lifetime.
Yeah.
But this stuff doesn't help my argument. Robot runs 100 meters in 24.73 seconds, breaking a world record.
Jeez.
That's not right. Why are we letting them run? Who gave them legs? Why? Why did you
that
do this?
That does seem, yes, because now they can catch us easier.
A robot developed at Oregon State University broke a Guinness World Record by running 100 meters on two legs in less than a half minute. Oregon State University's College of Engineering announced that the robot developed at the school and produced by OSU spinoff company Agility Robotics broke the Guinness record.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Oregon State.
Yeah. Jeez.
Thanks, beavers. What the what?
What are you doing to us?
You make them slow. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you make them fast? Have you not seen any movie? Period.
Yeah, I mean,
any
come on.
Movie.
Sci-fi movie. The robots are going to take over.
Why can't we? I mean, we could have helped, pushed off this whole robot takeover thing if we just made them really slow. This is the thing that didn't work with modern zombie stories. Like back in the day, the zombies and they're all
really slow
and
creepy,
unintelligent, and everything. And you know, it's scary in 1950, but by today's standards, it didn't hold up.
Yeah, you just kind of walk fast away from them, right?
So now, of course, they've got to be faster, or some of them are like built like a brick house and all these things. I mean, like they've done there's almost nothing that they can't do with the
steel plated.
Yeah. Nowadays, I don't think that there is, and I say this and wait a week and something will come out,
yes.
But I don't know if there's a new story to tell with zombies. They've even had a zombie love story. I mean, they've done it all. I think it was Idle Hands or something like that it was called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There was a zombie love story. Yeah.
There's actually good actors in it, too. It was way better than I thought it might be.
Yeah.
there's just not much that can be done with this. So. Yeah. Why do this? The zombie movies taught us. They don't learn. We should learn from them. Scientists. You call yourself scientists and you're not thinking of these things?
Reanimating flesh and building
metal.
What's wrong with yourself? Are you having self-esteem problems, scientists? Is that what it is?
What's the point? What is this going to do?
I don't know. I don't know. Great question.
Because I'm looking at this thing, and it's just the legs. It's just the legs with hips, you know, all that stuff.
So they had to make it creepy, too.
Right, that too. Yeah, that doesn't help anything. And it's got the bent legs, you know?
My gosh.
So that always creeps me out. That's like one of the few things in this world that does actually creep me out is in a movie when the arms are bending in ways they shouldn't or whatever.
Yeah,
all
bendy-wendy,
I don't want that. No.
Are
we going to be able to piggyback on these guys? Are they going to run us around places? Are they going to... I'm genuinely like now. I actually asked it jokingly. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what is the purpose of this thing? Like, just to see if we could do it? Like, I don't have no problem with that, but just tell us what the point
is. Please, come on, please.
If they are going to give us rides, what are those Shanghai things? Where
a rickshaw?
Yeah, rickshaw. Thank you. Yeah, like this is a modern rickshaw. Is that what this is?
Well, maybe that would be that'd be a good use for a pair of disembodied legs. Yeah.
Also, could turn polo into a whole new sport. Polo has been dying to get people to come to their matches and all that for a very long time.
Robo horse legs. That's what we need. Yes.
Let the horses be in the stands and watch the game.
Yeah, get their popcorn.
Horses have done a lot for us. So let them rest and everything. Let's put some robots to work and let's see robot polo. That's what I want to see. I want to see robot polo with a hint of jousting.
We've got a new game and we're brewing something here.
You're welcome, world.
Yeah.
You're welcome. There you go. There's a new big sport. That's
robot polo jousting.
I love the idea of me trying to sell this. I don't even know if I could sell it as a sketch.
Well,
I'm not even sure I could sell it to Second City as a sketch.
They apparently have no idea what to do with it, so why not give them some ideas?
Because I read through this article, and I'm not seeing anything of them telling us
why,
other than just to see if we could do it. Something that is definitely a lot more fun, kind of to talk about for us. The inmates are getting out. We are going to be, we are being let out of Arkham Asylum. The animals have escaped the zoo. Melissa and I will be at Family Natural Foods October 7th for a live remote. We're bringing the morning show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
From 7 to 10, we'll be at Family Natural Foods October 7th, that Friday, as we help them celebrate 76 years in business.
Lots of fun.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Seth will be here maintaining things, keeping things locked down. We're going to have a normal show, but it's also not going to be a normal show. Like, we'll still do Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Yep.
But we're going to be doing, every other segment's going to be filled with interviews and talking about the store, what's on sale. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to talk with Steven and Katrina. I'm really hoping to land an interview with Mike. That's a get.
Yeah, that's always good.
And of course, we'll talk to the staff because they got such a wonderful, kind,
oh my gosh,
and very smart staff.
Yes.
And of course, we might talk to you because we'll talk to customers as well.
Yes. Get in there. Maybe we'll interview a couple of customers as well, yeah.
Last year, Seth, you got to do this with
them. I did.
It sounded like you had a blast.
It was tons of fun to do that last year, and I'm glad you and Melissa will be able to do it this year. And yes, and if I remember correctly, yes, I got to interview just about everybody.
Yeah.
I got some customers. I got Mike and Katrina and Steve. I got them all, so it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's, and that's now the bar has been set.
It has.
Now, Melissa and I got to try to match that, because it was just you doing that. Now, I got an extra person.
I just get to sit back and relax. Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. Join us October 7th and join Family Natural Foods as they celebrate 76 years serving our community. We'll morning show going on the road October 7th, 7 to 10. We'll meet you guys there at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. They open their doors in just an hour. 9 to 6 they will be open today. It looks like actually 9 to 4 they'll be open today. Head on over there before then. 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Wish a good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods.